You may see little free libraries in your neighborhood, those small boxes with little doors where people can drop off and take books for free. We enjoy having one in our front yard.
Now, people around Wisconsin are using that model to create little free pantries, sometimes called blessing boxes, as a distribution point for food or personal hygiene items for neighbors to take for free.
Dozens of little free pantries are popping up all over the state, and we set out to learn more about how they work and their impact in communities. Eric Salzwedel is co-founder and executive director of Do Good Wisconsin. He runs the Salzwedel Community Little Free Pantry in Marshall. Eric, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
And Amber Dox is here, CEO and founder of Grow It Forward. That's a community garden and pantry in Manitowoc that maintains a little free pantry. Amber, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
Amber, let's start with you. How did Grow It Forward get started? What was the inspiration?
Sure. The seed was actually planted in my lived experience of food insecurity. 27 years ago, I ended up going to a food pantry for the first time, and there was a lack of healthy, nutritious food. The very last table that I went to had a swollen bag of lettuce, an orange that had mold on it, and an apple that was heavily bruised. And since then, we've done a lot of different things as an organization, from operating a community garden to our free little pantry. We also own and operate a cafe in downtown Manitowoc as well.
So it's really spread. Amber, you know, having that fresh produce is so important, but how do you get through a winter season?
Yes. So we have an indoor hydroponic farm, actually in a former church that was donated to our organization back in 2019. And right now we're producing about 75 pounds every week. So it's important for us to make sure that we still have access to healthy, nutritious food, regardless of Wisconsin winters.
Eric, what is the origin story behind your little free pantry in Marshall?
Yeah, so I actually saw a post, I think, on social media about somebody who had done essentially a blessing box of food for folks to grab. I said, you know, if I ever or when I get a home, I would love to incorporate this idea of a blessing box of food for people who may be facing food insecurity and have that in front of my house. Well, fast forward to us purchasing a house in December of 2019 and the pandemic hitting in 2020, where I reached out to a friend of mine saying, hey, love for something nice to be built in front of the house. A friend of mine built this little free pantry, just a larger scale size, little free library, I guess you could kind of say. And we just started collecting community donations of non-perishable food items for the most part to be able to put into the pantry and let the community know through social media and community groups and just word of mouth that at any time, 365 days a year, 24/7, you can come and grab some items and we'll replenish it and fill it as often and as much as we can for those facing food insecurity.
And I'm looking at a photo right now of your house and the pantry in front of it. And it looks, like you said, like a little free library, but bigger. It looks like there's a cooler next to it. How do you keep it stocked while also accounting for changing weather and changing community needs?
Yeah, and typically we will put out through our social media group we've created for those in the community and those that kind of follow along that we encourage people to donate food up on our porch. We have a kind of a system in place where folks donate food into a donation bin. Then we take it out, we weigh it, we stock it into other bins and inside of our home. And about every day I go out morning and evening and fill up the pantry with probably about 20 pounds of food items and personal hygiene items. And periodically we'll utilize a cooler, especially on the hot summer days. It's used 365 days a year, no matter how cold or hot it is, and takes a little beating on the doors with the wind and the weather every once in a while, but we push through.
And Amber, what kind of usage does your little free pantry get? Eric mentioned just a range of different items that seem to go through his pantry.
Yeah, that's right. We also see the same utilization at our pantry. Our organization also operates its own actual full-scale food pantry as well. So That pantry is available to our clients on Thursdays and Fridays by appointment or first come, first serve. So if people are looking for a little bit more abundance, they're going to receive that when our pantry, our full pantry is open. But the free little library or blessing box is available 365 days a year. And we see folks at all different times of the day and night utilizing it. We've seen children from the neighborhood, teenagers utilize it, seniors, even somebody who is living in their car. So we go through a wide variety of items, whether that be like the prepackaged little soup cups or the granola bars or cereal cups, but also those personal items are also very nice, especially in winter. We have a neighbor who actually makes crocheted winter hats, and those go through really quickly as well, just with, you know, kiddos and things like that in the neighborhood.
I do want to stop here for a moment and discuss accessibility, because there's no need to fill out applications, government applications, or show, proof of eligibility. Amber, what impact does that have?
Well, our food pantry is similar in that nature as well. We are members of the Emergency Food Assistance Program. It's self-declaration, and it's just for the main person who lives in the household. And all you do is share how many people are in your home in order for us to pack enough food for that household. But as for the blessing box, I think that that helps with some of those initial fear points, or if you're feeling a little anxious about receiving help or asking for help. It sometimes is the first line of getting folks some support that they need. We also put out little resource cards in our little library on where to receive recovery services in the community, where you might be able to receive foster care support in the community, spiritual guidance, should you be looking for that as well, and other programs or job opportunities also. So we've really made sure that we've found a full approach to meeting people where they're at.
We're talking about little free pantries, also known as blessing boxes, which have popped up all over the state in recent years. Amber Dogs there manages a pantry at Grow It Forward in Manitowoc. And Eric Salzwedel, who started a little free pantry on his property in Marshall. Eric, what kind of impact has your little free pantry had on your community or on your family? What are some positive stories that you're hearing?
Since we've started the program, I think one of the thoughts I had right away was to, what's a way that we could try to measure the success of this little free pantry? And ultimately, we wanted to just start weighing all of the donations that would come in just so we could actually have a weight. But since we've started doing that, when we put it up in March of 2020 through this year, we're probably around that 40,000 pounds of personal hygiene and food that have been used. And what's incredible, again, is I go out almost on a daily basis, and, you know, items are obviously utilized. Some very positive things is just the amount of people that, if I'm outside already, and will come up and use the pantry, and then how many will say, you know, thank you so much. You know, I'm a single mother of five kids, or another instance of just, you know, this box has helped me just get through some really tough times. And, you know, Amber on the head too, of just, you know, people being able to utilize this when sometimes they might be afraid to ask for help, and here they can come and get some stuff to get them by for a short period of time, and as often as they need. It's pretty incredible, just the response from the community. And I've seen the same people that have used the pantry turn around and have donated other things towards the pantry that they may not eat, which is incredible.
Wow. Amber, do you have any tips or advice for people who might want to put up their own little free pantry, or perhaps convert their little free library into a pantry?
I would just make sure that wherever you have it housed, that certainly you're paying attention to some of the weather, that it has a good roof on it. Repairs are frequent with these, so making sure that you have somebody who is handy. In fact, this morning when I went to go stock the blessing box, our window on the door was broken because we had a really strong windstorm last night through the area. So Now we have another repair, but it's a great way for volunteers to get involved. If you have a Boy Scout troop or an Eagle Scout that's looking to put forth a very valuable project, this is a really valuable and rewarding way to get involved. And then the other thing that we've done is we also placed a garden bed near ours as well. So if you're wanting access to fresh produce during the summer months, those two things can live right well next to one another.
Well, Eric and Amber, thank you for sharing your stories. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That was Amber Dogg, CEO and founder of Grow It Forward in Manitowoc, and Eric Salzwedel, co-founder and executive director of Do Good Wisconsin, runs a community pantry in Marshall. We've been talking about the impact of Little Free Pantries and helping to address food insecurity in communities. And maybe you have a Little Free Pantry or a Little Free Library. You can tell us your story about sharing in your community. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org. And thank you.
A while back, we asked for your Girl Scout cookie memories. We got another response that spans a couple generations.
Yes, Linda from Waupaca writes, my 93-year-old mother still has the little Girl Scout cookie selling booklet that she used in 1943, and she remembers that there was only one variety of cookie sold. It was the chocolate sandwich creams, and they were 25 cents a box.
Linda continues, I was a Girl Scout from Brownies through Senior Girl Scouts, have my cookie selling cards from 1968 to 70, one from the 80s when I was a leader, some varieties from the past include Pixies, Fudge Cookies, Dutch and Such, and Golden Yangles, a cheddar cheese snack cracker.
A blast from the cookie past. Would you do any of those flavors, Rob?
Fudge Cookie for sure. Golden Yangle I could do without. Pixies, Dutch and Such. I got to get more details. Not sure what those are about.
Keep sharing your Girl Scout cookie stories, past or present. Email us at wisconsintoday@wpr.org, or you can call 888-642-0232 and leave a message.
Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at wpr.org/wisconsintoday. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to WPR News.